All right, Aaron, the floor is yours. Or is it the chairs? Sorry, Greg, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. Well, welcome to the mock session number two of the 2021 ABC. First thing I'd like to do is ask, so that we can establish quorum, if everyone who's going to vote on this use the reactions and raise the hand, and leave it up, and the secretary will lower it when they've made the count. So please raise your hand if you're voting. If you're not voting, don't raise your hand. Okay, stop voting, or stop raising, and we've got a count. Do you have it, Jim?
Yeah, I see it's on the screen. It's kind of amazing. I was going to ask where it was, but it just popped up. It's hovering and it says 18 right now, oh, down to 17.
Okay.
We'll go with the higher number and assume it was 18 participants. And let me just check in with Josh and see if Josh, if you're able to see that also.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Now, what will happen is your hand won't stay raised if you don't have Zoom version 5.5 or higher. So just be aware of that. All right. So our first proposal and only proposal in this session that will is up for discussion will be introduced by Aaron.
Ready for that?
Ready.
Okay, and Cheryl, I'm going to have you screen share as I get us started here.
Your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight. If your mother says don't chew it, do you swallow it in spite? Can you catch it on your tonsils when you heave it left and right? Does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? It comes a
Okay, now for the fun. Getting us started. This is proposal from 2021. Mach 1 submitted by the meeting GUM01. Our meeting name is Chew on That, and from Trident PA. And our issue, we propose that all ACA meetings and events create a no bubble gum rule. We're going to give you some background. History and reasoning. While chewing, cracking gum, and especially blowing bubbles helps members connect with childhood feelings, several meetings have discouraged them. We understand the use of gum has been suggested by therapists. For example, when a member feels the need to use profanity, it serves as a physical release, providing an outlet for pent-up tension during a meeting. It is believed to encourage open mouth belly breathing. The release of emotional toxins, which might otherwise build up in the body during a meeting. While we agree, there are benefits. Many groups have found the use of gum during meetings highly distracting. Service positions have been created at in-person meetings to scrape gum off of meeting chairs, and rent has been increased for some meetings due to the destruction of furniture. Additionally, Zoom meetings have had to create an additional service position of a mic and video monitor to deal with this. As well, PTSD has frequently been triggered in many ways. Banning bubblegum altogether would avoid this global dilemma. Now we're going to give you the WSO analysis. Banning bubblegum at meetings would mean a loss of income to our fellowship. Our BGB, which is our bubblegum book, is a bestseller, and the revenue has allowed us to provide many services to the fellowship. This proposal would end our workshops on non-dominant bubble blowing, where attendees blow bubbles from their nostrils, thereby learning spiritual principles of patience, playing, and having fun, as well as healthy breathing techniques. Additionally, Ready, Set, Blow would be terminated should the fellowship decide to ban bubblegum. And now we're going to give you some comments that our delegates have sent in from their groups as they filled out their proposal. Ballot comments. Spit it out. Chewing gum has never been so much fun. Does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Prior to recovery, I couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. He got chewed out at his meeting. Double your pleasure, double your fun with double mint gum. Next slide, please. Okay, so now what we'll do is we'll turn it over to our chair. And I guess, Cheryl, if you want to go back to the very beginning and let people read a little bit about the history and reasoning and the WSO analysis as they go through. We'll pass it on to our chair.
Had to find my unmute button. Okay, well, so we have this proposal on the floor, and the first thing we need to do is decide if we've got all the information available regarding this proposal, and we'll do that first by having Aaron give the position, give a little bit of background explanation if it's not already been included, and then we will move to we will then move to the vote to see who are opposed and who are in agreement with this, so that we can have individuals step up to the virtual mic and give their additional information and positions on this. So, Aaron?
Okay, sure. So the reason that we, our group, created this proposal was because we want the no bubblegum rule because there was a lot of domineering behavior that was happening in meetings. Members were being shamed when they came in with bubblegum, and they were being told when they share to put the bubblegum on their nose like this. Well, this bubblegum doesn't work so well, but to put their bubblegum on their nose and share. It felt very shaming. It felt like what was happening in grade school. There was gossip and criticism about not being able to walk, chew gum, and practice recovery at the same time. And there's stigma around oral fixations that people were also hearing gossip and criticism and slandering about. So our meeting has a bubblegum rule which states that, cracking states that bubbles, cracking, and twirling is asked not to be done during personal shares. Closed mouth chewing is acceptable, but anyone found to violate this principle will be asked to spit it out and return after attending a session of Ready, Set, Blow. And that would provide more safety in our meetings. However, what we are asking with this proposal is that a motion be made to ban bubble gum in all meetings so that we can avoid these problems. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Aaron. Now we'll take a vote. Can you put the slide up on the vote, please, Brad or Mindy?
Is this the poll?
No, this is going to be just a vote. We're not going to do a poll here.
Oh, okay.
There was
any slides?
Oh, okay. I didn't send you the slide. I sent it to Brett. Okay. So here's what we'll here. I'll just explain what we're going to do. In the reactions, there's a middle row of a green check, a red X, circled X, and a gray left pointing double greater than sign or less than sign. We'll use those. If you support, as of right now, this doesn't mean how you'll vote in the long term, but if you support this proposal right now, go ahead and indicate a yes with a green circle with a check mark in it. If you're not in favor of this right now, indicated with a red circle with a white X in it. And if you're abstaining, you don't want to vote on this, then use the gray circle with the two less than marks in it. So go ahead at this time. And again, do not remove your vote until after, let the secretary do that. Okay.
Greg, can I also just mention that for the mock proposal, and so that we can keep moving on with this, we do kind of want to have more people that would be in favor so we can move to discussion.
I think we're getting that.
Oh, good.
Good. And I'm glad to see we have a couple of abstentions because we're doing a timing check here. Okay. At this point, I will assume that everyone who's going to vote has voted. And Secretary, if you've gotten that, go ahead. The next thing we're going to do is...
Wait, hold on. Pause 1 second. So this is where we said we would take a screenshot of the tallies. Where are the tallies to take a screenshot of?
Yep.
On the participants window, but it opens up another can of worms. So we only had 18 people for the quorum, but we've got 20 people voting. So I guess at this point we would expand our quorum to 20.
Yes.
This is
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
This is perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now we've got 21. Yeah. All right. So let's cease voting. And then if you will, please, when you're ready, Secretary, let me know and I'll have people put up there.
Yeah, just a point of information. The only the host can lower the reactions. At least I don't see it myself.
Oh,
so I need it.
Oh, yeah, no, let me know, and I'm happy to lower the reactions when you're ready. I just didn't want to do it too soon.
Okay, I found the clear all feedback, so the secretary can do it. So thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. So next, because we want to hear from the people that voted yes. What's the percentage on this?
So out of 15 minutes, 11.7 minutes go to pro, 3.3 to against. So I guess we could say 11 and a half and 3.5.
Well, we can just do, yeah, okay. So the first we'll take yeses for 11.5 minutes, and that's 1 minute apiece max. All right. So those of you that voted yes, if you have some additional information to provide to this, why we should do this, go ahead and put up a green circle with a check mark, and then we'll call on you in the order in which you go until we run out of time.
Greg, I think we want to do hands because it moves them to the front.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Let's go ahead and clear right. all feedback and start.
Thank you. All right. Clear feedback and use your hands. You have 1 minute, and please don't repeat something that somebody else has said. If you were going to say something that somebody else has said and you don't have anything to add, then please lower your hand. Okay. All right. So first we will hear from Mary R. Wisconsin 0147.
Hi, I'm an adult child from the Fitchburg, Wisconsin meeting, although I live in Green Bay. And my comment is that in addition to the other things that were already discussed, when you blow bubbles, you're creating aerosols. And during the pandemic, this would make a health hazard for people who are chewing gum. It would be unhealthy for the other people that are within 6 feet of those people. So that's my comment.
All right, thank you. And next we will have Denise from Alaska 021.
Hi, I am voting I believe tradition one addresses this, that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. And when one or two people are blowing gum, that's interrupting other people's process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Denise. Lynn from Canada. And Lynn, do suggest you change your name to your last initial, realizing that we want to preserve anonymity. We are video, we're recording this in video.
I don't have my last name up there.
This is Pickering Canada. Thank you. Okay.
No problem. Lynn, ACA. I would find that if someone was blowing a bubble and let it pop, that would trigger me. It would probably scare the heck out of me. And totally, I would lose my concentration in the meeting and probably feel unsafe in the meeting.
Okay. Brad from Maryland 0060.
Hey, I'm Brad. And my computer is literally held together with chewing gum and rubber bands and spit. And what happens when I start chewing the gum, the computer just goes all monster on me and it starts to steal my chewing gum. And, you know, I'm really working on my agency here in ACA. And, you know, I can't be having this computer all over me. I've tried setting boundaries, but he's really aggressive. And so that's just my two cents. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. And next we have Joshua from Intergroup 56 in Minnesota.
Hi, everybody. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know I'm really triggered right now because I really want some gum. I'm really jonesing for some gum. And it's really hard, you know, for gum to be shared virtually this way. But even more than that, you know, like if someone comes to a meeting and they've got gum, well, then they've got to share with everybody. So do we need to make rules about that? And then just think about the have and the have nots of that. Like, for instance, you know, as you can see here, I live in this lighthouse. It's really, shipping is really prohibitive with gum. You know, like a pack of gum costs about $5. So in the sake of unity, I don't know. I think this it opens a big pack of gum as far as unity for all of us in the program. So I think it's something we should definitely consider. That's all I've got.
All right. Thanks, Joshua. And next we have Amber from Intergroup 633.
Hi, my name is Amber. I'm an adult child in Central Florida, representative for Intergroup 633 in Central Florida. This is not a joke. This is not a bit. I actually have a condition called misophonia, which is a recognized like selective sound sensitivity processing disorder where stuff like eating and chewing gum actually creates a fight or flight response. I've been trying to follow along using the closed captioning. It's not great. I can tell you it's not very accurate from what I can tell. But anyway, I just wanted to share that I'm also a new member on the Representation, Equity, and Accessibility Committee. So I figured it was incumbent on me to actually share that with y'all since it is a real thing that I got accommodations for at my university and the meetings I attend actually don't chew gum so that I can participate in the meeting. So thanks.
Thanks, Amber. Next we have Renee from Massachusetts 061. You're muted. Renee, you're muted. Or Rainey. I guess it's Rainey. Yeah.
It's Rainey. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
I'm the delegate from the Tuesday 5:30 meeting, Northampton, Massachusetts. So I don't know whether this is where one asks this question or whether this question was asked when we were taking the proposals back to the group. But the question is, why is it just bubble gum we're talking about and not gum?
Okay, that's something that maybe can be answered in a while, but do you have something else to say about your positive position on this?
I wasn't role-playing. It's an actual question about if we're wondering why the proposal's worded a certain way. That was a discussion a while ago, right? When it went before the groups?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. I'm not actually sure how to handle that with our protocol here, so.
Can I comment on that?
Go ahead, no, Josh. I don't think it's right. The time is right here. Let's go ahead and we'll hold that in abeyance. Parliamentarian, actually, can you weigh in on that?
Yes, because this is a mock proposal, part of the normal process we aren't going through, which would have been asking the question whether, and I think we may still do that, actually, whether people would support this if it was reworded. So so we will move on with other comments.
Thank you. Okay, next we will take comments from people, members who, delegates who voted against this. If you would raise your hands at this time, if you desire to speak. Okay, we have one hand up, Julianne from telemeeting 0411.
Hi, thanks. I'm Julianne, recovering adult child. You know, as a lot of people know, I love chewing gum, but I have dental work that means that I can't. And so personally, I'm against gum chewing because it triggers a lot of things in me because I feel like I'm excluded when other people are chewing gum. But in all good conscience, I can't vote for this because our traditions say that every group is autonomous except in matters affecting another group or ACA as a whole. And I would really hate for the entire organization to be punitive simply because I find something objectionable. So I would have to vote against this. And I would just hope that meetings in their listings online would let us know whether they are pro gum chewing or against gum chewing. And maybe that could be one of the things that we could search for on the website. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Julianne. Next we have John from California 988.
Yes, John, a recovering adult child. I am against any kind of drinking or eating in meetings as a distraction. So I think that's why I stand with no bubblegum chewing or popping, because it's simply just leave food, all kinds of food and mouth activities outside that have to do with drinking or eating or chewing. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John. And as I recall, the proposal is to ban chewing gum. That's not to allow it. All right. Well, that's all who have stepped up to make comments. We're going to move to the next part of the process, which is determining whether or not we have sufficient support for a motion. And we're going to have three options in the next vote. The first option is I absolutely support this proposal as it is written. The next is that I oppose this proposal in any form. The third is that I kind of like this. I like the concept, but I think it needs to be reworked. And I will not support it in its current form, but if it were reworked, I would support it. All right. So we have three. And this one's going to be a poll, correct, Mindy?
That is correct. And are we ready for the poll?
We are ready for the poll.
Okay. Greg, do you want me to screen share what you gave me?
Yes, please. Actually, the it's not going to work out real well because I put those little icons on it, but we can.
Well, doesn't the poll have the text?
Yeah, yes. It does. But Brad, it says that I'm logged in from another device and that my polling session is inactive, but I'm not personally logged in from any other device. Do you know someone logged in with the credentials?
Is also logged in on Zoom One, looks like.
Yeah, it looks like it broke its own rules. It looks like it gave me the polling. Okay.
I have it.
So,
as well.
Why don't do,
the poll
you are
should
here
already be there if you can launch it.
Yeah, I'll launch it.
Awesome.
Okay.
How
so
much
you.
Time?
All right. So let's give this 1 minute. And
doing the timing on this.
I am Josh. Okay. I got awesome. The time. We're doing great with time. Yeah,
awesome.
I didn't have
Thank
to
you.
Call time on anybody this time.
Okay, the poll has ended. And the majority has, we have a majority, and what's the result? Actually, Josh, you want to?
It's possible that somebody, not everybody saw the poll. Or is that possible?
I think what happened is I didn't have the initial question when I set up the poll. I just had the answers. So the initial question wasn't really asked. It just said choose one of the three. So I know we have a comment where someone asked, can I see the proposal along with the poll? So that was my mistake. But I believe when we do this next week, we'll hopefully have all of those proposals ahead of time.
So can I? I have results if we, based on this. So there's 11 pro, right? 6 against in any form, 3, right, generally support, which means we have 29. So again, this is before we had 29. So people are continuing to join, which affects the whole quorum thing. So that puts us at 132% of our initial number. I'm going to say that we're good, right? And what that means is there's 42.3% pro, 57% against in any form, 11.5, which means it's referred to a problem-solving discussion group.
Something's not right. Something's not right there, Josh.
Okay.
How's the numbers? We're not right.
Yeah. We had, what I'm seeing is 11 pro, 6 against.
Oh, you're right.
Three.
My bad.
Yeah.
So we're still referred to a problem-solving discussion group, right?
No.
No. It doesn't make the 60%. So
right, it goes to a problem-solving discussion group, right?
It doesn't make the 60%, so it would go to a problem-solving discussion group, but we're not going to do that. we're going to go ahead, and because we want to go through the motion process, we will go through the motion process. Okay. So we have percentages of, the percentages of voters, as long as we have a quorum, need to be 60% in favor in order to move to the motion process. And we don't have that here. And so, but for the purposes of this meeting, we're going to go ahead and go to the motion process. The other thing, though, I want to make a comment on what this would have happened to this proposal is it would go to breakout rooms so that those folks who are interested would join that breakout room on the morning of the second day and rework this proposal and create a motion that they believe would be better, would better be representative of the intent of this, and they would bring that back to the main body at later about noon on the second day. Okay, so you know what would happen with this with the current vote. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to go into the motion process. And so now we have the opportunity for someone to make a motion that's consistent with this proposal. And I got to clear my screen here. And so we would like somebody to make a motion, and then we'll ask for a second. So would someone like to make a motion out of this proposal?
I raised my hand. Is that how we're doing it or no?
Oh, yes, I didn't see it. Okay, great. So Jess, would you please, from Intergroup 720, would you please, and Secretary will capture the motion that you made.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that there be no bubblegum rule in meetings. Is that right? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
That's good. That's good.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right.
AK 0021.
Thank you, Denise. Okay, so the next is debate of pros and cons. We've heard some, but now we actually have a motion on the floor, and we have 10 minutes, and we would like to have kind of a match between folks who are in favor of and folks who are opposed to it. Now, what I think we'll do, so let's go ahead and someone who's in favor of it, actually, those in favor, put up your, raise your hand. Okay, we'll start out with Lynn from Canada 332.
Sorry. Okay. So point of order. Did you take a vote
on the motion? No.
It's that not. Comes next.
Vote comes first.
No, we have a debate first, according to our plan.
All right.
Okay, because we had a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you have a second. Okay, then there's discussion and then a vote. Sorry. Yeah.
Cool.
I do have a point of order, though, that I think is important. So when we said we moved into this third thing of actually making the motion, Greg, you asked for someone to restate it, which I think we need to be careful of, because it's possible that makes it sound like somebody could rechange the wording of the original motion, which I think could cause a lot of challenges. So we need to be careful with that.
You mean careful in the wording that I use when I said?
No, I guess what I'm saying is, and we can take this offline.
Okay.
I think we need to essentially not ask somebody to restate it. It's already been put out there. It's just like the fact that it's made it past there already sort of makes it someone has made the motion.
Okay. All right. We'll take that offline and talk about that then.
Yeah, Greg, what he was saying is her motion said there would be no bubblegum rule. So yes. Basically, that could be interpreted multiple ways as there's no rules about bubblegum, or that you're not allowed to have bubblegum. So that's what Josh was referring to is motion. The motion became ambiguous when it was originally clear.
Okay, thank you. I put the hyphen in automatically, and you're right. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, we'll assume, because we don't have it in writing right now, which is what we would do in the ABC. We would put it up on the screen to make sure we have the motion understood by everybody. And so we will assume there's a hyphen, that there is a no bubblegum rule, and that hyphen is between the no and the bubblegum. All right. So.
Sorry, Greg, is Jim able to put up that at the moment? Is that what the secretary would do? Is just have it on a Word document, or?
Are you able to do that, Jim?
Of course, yeah. Of course, with the patience of the person who wants to make the motion, we could wordsmith it on the screen. And I did just send a point of information to make sure that we wanted to make the motion right away. I thought there was going to be some discussion to make sure some points are made so we can make a informed motion. Otherwise, we'll spend our life wordsmithing. You know, if the first person who speaks out makes a motion, it's not going to have all the information we want, just like we saw even during the mock here. But anyway, we could cover that afterwards. But if I get screen sharing, I can type in that motion.
All right, thank you.
And let's.
Greg, remind me, actually, when we're face to face in the past, what has happened is we haven't asked the proposing group to read their motion when we get to this point, now that we're more than likely going to have the proposing group on the call, is it best to have them, to ask them to make the motion and do it as they presented the proposal?
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it does.
All right, so we can do that now. Jim hasn't started typing, so let's revert and say, Aaron, would you, as a representing the group, like to make the motion?
Yes, I would like to motion that we, as a fellowship, create a no bubblegum rule for all meetings and events in BGB.
Okay, that's what I got up to. Can you finish the part?
That as a fellowship, we make a no bubblegum rule in all meetings and events. Or I should say, I'm sorry, in all BGB meetings and events, because our fellowship is BGB.
BBG?
Yep, BGB.
Is that what the issue in the proposal said?
Right, I think this is where we could get ourselves into trouble.
Yeah, it really should mirror the issue.
Yeah, it should. I don't think whether the submitting group is there or not, they shouldn't. I think once we establish, it's like somebody makes a friendly amendment, it's up to the group to ascend it. Essentially, that wording, now that we've talked about it as a group, that wording that we say we want to proceed with, that now belongs to the group. The originating, you know, submitting group can't come in and then monkey with it potentially.
No.
So do we have the slide that has the original ballot proposal on it?
That's
okay. So in the sense of BGB is bubblegum. What is it? Bubblegum book?
Yes, bubblegum.
Okay. Okay. So the motion then, based on this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mary Jo and Josh, is that we move that all ACA meetings and events create a no bubblegum rule.
Correct.
See, as it's stated, and the reason we would do this is because we want to take that "we propose" off. It's now actually a motion.
Yeah, and just a further point of clarification: proposals are not motions until they are actually made into a motion. Okay, And
I think at this point, if anybody disagreed with the wording, we passed the point of workshopping it, so you would just have to vote it down.
Okay. Do you have that, Jim?
Well, I don't. I mean, I would have this ahead of time. So is that the practice we're talking about for the actual event? So the only thing that can be made a motion is the actual proposal?
If we're following the motion process in the room, yes. If we go to the breakout room, then they can wordsmith it. But it has to be.
It doesn't really make sense to me, but
it's my understanding of what we're doing.
Well,
Mary Jo, you had something?
No, it's actually the same as last year. That if the delegates are in favor of the motion, the proposal, I'm sorry, I broke my own rule, the proposal, the way it's written, then it is made into a motion, and those things can be created ahead of time. To Greg's point, it's essentially changing. We propose to, I move that all and so on. So those can be ready ahead of time.
And just to clarify, what we're doing is this is part of the workshop here, the mock. This is, and that's why we're stopping and recalibrating instead of going forward. If in fact we have a motion on the floor and it has been seconded, then we would move into discussion of it directly and then vote. We're backing up so that we can do a better job of setting our rules.
I'll take it over. So now instead of we propose, we move. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. I could change one word.
All right. Super. Okay.
To be really technical, it is an individual making a motion at that point. So it is, yes. I move.
Okay. So who's the motion maker?
It was Jess.
Jess? Okay. And did we have a second yet?
We changed that. The motion maker was the proposing group. It was Aaron.
Aaron. Okay. Sorry.
But we might not do that in the future. But, so it should be I move that all ACA meetings and events create a no bubblegum. All right. Yeah. Do we have a second?
Let's make Jess the second.
All right. Jess. All right, thank you. Okay, now we move to discussion. And so now Lynn from Canada 332, you are in support of this?
Yes, I am. Very much in support of this because I think that chewing any kind of gum, eating food, not so much drinking, but these two things for sure would cause me to lose my concentration, and I find it disruptive. And in my other 12-step groups, some of the ones that I go to, I could be triggered by someone chewing gum or eating, because it belonged to another 12-step group that is for food addicts. So for me, this is an issue with people chewing gum or eating.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. And again, I'll remind you that somebody's already expressed what you're going to say. Please don't just repeat it. We'll do one more pro, and then we'll do a couple of cons as well. So Denise, will you please step up to the mic?
Hello. Okay.
Go ahead, Denise.
I'm not sure what I'm.
Are you?
You said
you were in support of it and you wanted to make a comment.
Oh, I had already made my comment before.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Go ahead and we'll lower your hand then. All right. So now we'll open it up to those who would like to speak. Who are opposed to this motion. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? All right. We have no one that's willing to speak or inspired to speak.
I raised my hand.
Oh, okay. I missed it. All right. Go ahead, Julianne.
That's okay. I was trying to think of something. Okay. Tradition one says our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. I don't see how restricting my personal, I don't see how restricting anyone's personal choice of chewing gum and blowing bubbles. I lost my train of thought. I apologize. Give me a second. Let me breathe. I see this as restricting my anyone's personal choice to deep belly breathe and express their inner emotions through blowing bubbles. And I don't see where restricting personal freedoms in this way lends to our common welfare. But that'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So that's pros and cons. And to clarify, there's a what we did was in the past, we've noticed that we didn't have sufficient discussion about each of the motions. Once we made a motion, we didn't have sufficient discussion, and we didn't have enough discussion ahead of time to make a decision whether we were even going to have a motion as a consequence. And I'm answering a couple of statements that have been put into or questions have been put into the chat right now. So as a consequence, we've opened up to have more discussion in advance.
That the discussion was sufficient before the motion was made and that people are ready to vote, but this is an opportunity if new points want to be made that weren't made before.
Thank you. Okay, so now we will have a vote. And we'll vote on the motion and we'll go with pros, cons, and abstentions.
For 1 second, Greg, let me interject. So this is Erin. For the sake of moving towards the delegation understanding the presentation of a minority opinion, we're going to be very controlling, manipulative, and domineering bubblegum book members and ask more people to vote for the motion to pass.
Okay. Yeah, okay, got it. Okay. So the vote will be using that middle row on the reactions. A yes vote for the proposal, which is no bubblegum rule, is a green with a check in it. Opposed is X with a red in a red circle, and abstain is the same we had before, the gray circle with the two less than signs. So if you would vote now, please.
Greg, I thought we said we were always going to use polls for motions.
Okay. You're right. So let's use a poll.
Okay. So let me create a poll.
Brad, are we worried about bumping up our, 25 limit if we do that for the polls and the proposal?
If we could, maybe a few of us could talk about that offline afterwards. I don't know if any people can stay a little bit longer. So let's just go ahead and
go ahead and create a poll then.
Oh. Okay, hold on.
Do you want to go ahead the way we're doing it right now?
Yeah, let's just go ahead the way we're doing it to expedite things today.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so we'll take the vote with the check mark in the green circle as yes, the X in the red circle as no, and the gray circle with the two less than signs will be abstain.
And Greg, would you kindly restate what we're voting so everyone's clear right in this moment, right?
We're voting on the motion that I moved that all ACA meetings and events create a no bubblegum rule. What's displayed on the screen? Okay, I encourage anybody who hasn't voted to vote within the next 30 seconds because we haven't reached quorum yet.
Sorry, it's Lynn. My yes keeps disappearing. Is that because I don't have the right level of
that? That's correct.
Okay. So I just keep putting it up there.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of like abstains appear and then disappear. Might this be a Zoom version issue?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go ahead, go with what we have right now, and we'll declare that we meet quorum. All right. We can get a feedback anyway from you.
Okay, is the polling closed?
Polling's closed.
Polling is closed, and the motion passed 15, 4, 5 against.
Okay, dope. So now we have the opportunity. We have 5 minutes for those who voted in the minority, which is a no. We have 5 minutes, 1 minute per person, to make a statement supporting your position, why you voted no. If it hasn't already been stated, that's the big point here. All right. Is there anyone who'd like to state their position or encourage someone to say something? Raise your hand.
This is Erin. I'm going to raise my, actually, my name is Jane now.
Hi, Jane.
Okay. So I'm Jane, and I voted in the minority, meaning that I thought that we should not have this bubblegum rule. And the points that I wanted to bring up, which I did not hear brought up prior, were that the bubblegum book tools and meditations have provided a safe space for inner children to connect, knowing we're all more alike than different. Let's see. It is a universal way of connecting with others. We have all had the experience of chewing gum and can relate to stories of gum in our hair, stuck on our shoes, being the hero who shares their gum, or being shamed or punished by our teachers. Chewing gum is universal, and it helps beginners feel welcome when we share our new gummer packets. Also, I didn't hear in the discussion very much about the WSO analysis, which talked about how much revenue our fellowship would lose. And so we may no longer exist as a fellowship. So that's my minority.
Fine.
Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. All right. Any others who would like to express an opinion for the minority? Okay. So now that you've heard another opinion on why this should be opposed, are there any who would like to change their vote at this point? Now, what we're doing is we're voting to see if we re-vote. So are there any who would want to change their vote as a result of what they just heard? All right.
Okay. Are we using, point of information?
Oh, yeah, just use it. Just use the hand. You're right. Use Thank you. Okay. Use the hand. Okay. All right. So we have those who would change their vote, and we don't need a percentage on that, as I recall. Is that correct, yes. Parliamentarian?
Correct. As long as one person is going to change their vote, then we revote.
We revote. That's what I thought. Okay. So go ahead. All hands lowered, and they are. So we will go ahead and revote again. Those in favor, use the green check, green back check. Those opposed, the X with the red backing, and those who are abstaining, the gray circle with the less than signs. Okay, I'm going to close the vote. I didn't give you a time, but we'll close the vote now. And at the time I said close the vote, we had 11 against 9. Now at this point, if we have 60%, then the motion carries. If we don't have 60%, then And if the motion carries, we send it to the board. If we don't have 60%, then we declare the business item dismissed.
It fails.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. Can, this is Jim. Can I make a point of information?
Sure.
So to me, this is a really weak part in the process. So something that had favor, a lot of interest, enough interest to pass the first time, and then a minority opinion had to go 50-50, it dies. It doesn't even go to a breakout room, which I think is a real shame. Something that had a lot of interest doesn't even go to a breakout room, where something that had marginal interest does go to a breakout room. So something to consider afterwards and a refinement to our process.
Okay, point taken. Seems like we had that happen last year, by the way.
The presumption is in general that all delegates and all of the proposals that are will be on the agenda, all delegates will have a lot more, will have familiarity. They didn't have any today, but and this was a fun thing, but they will have familiarity with the proposals that are on the agenda. And it's less likely that we'll run into this problem. We did run into it when it came to a break, something that went to a breakout room. But I think we've tried to fix that process also. But yes, point taken. Thank you, Jim.
And to support that also, what we, this goes back to the amount of time we have for discussion up front. We've opened up the discussion up front with the intent of actually exposing those kinds of concerns up front before the before we take the vote on the motion. So before we even get to that point where we decide, are we going to go for a motion? Are we totally opposed? Or are we going to go to a breakout room? The intent now, we have enough time to bring out these kinds of issues so that hopefully this won't happen.
Okay, again, since it did happen last year, and it to me, the simple solution is something that had enough interest to have discussion and vote on twice should go to a breakout room also. Just like something that had marginal interest to begin with. So that to me, that would be the best resolution here. Something that had a lot of discussion should continue to be discussed in a breakout room.
I think that this is, it's a fair point, Jim. I don't think that we have time to consider that kind of modification at this point for this year. But I do think there are, you know, it's a continual evaluation and improvement process. I think that that item should go into the queue for us to look at whether or not to modify the process for the next time.
Well, we can still discuss this afterwards. We'll have to look at it. We've doubled the amount of time up front for discussion and realized we didn't use that this time. We didn't even use it. So it was kind of in a sense, it would be one of those deals where somebody holds back information. If you don't have discussion up front and then suddenly somebody pops up with it and affects the vote, but we need to look at it. We need to look at it. Okay.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay.
So we have a couple, one technical question in the chat.
I didn't see it.
One about, I have from IG720, I have a question, messed up, click yes.
Yeah, the technical issue on voting, I would think you'd have more flexibility with the yes, no, because you could always change it. I think once you submit, you may not, you may realize you made the wrong vote after you submitted and then it's too late. But I think you could always change your vote with the yes, no, right up until the time it's counted. Is that correct, Brad?
That's correct, Jim.
And there's another question here that talks about, let me get down there. Basically, who speaks after the minority opinion? Who speaks to the minority opinion? So the only people that speak in the minority opinion would be the people who were in the minority.
Correct. Correct.
So the question was, would the original proposers speak again? And if I'm thinking correctly, they would not, because they would, well, depending on whether or not they were in the minority, I guess. Yeah, there you go.
Yep, that's correct. And the last chance that as the proposer, the proposing group gets to speak is that 3 minutes up front before we start getting into the otherwise they're just like all the rest of the delegates.
I wanted to make a technical comment for everyone here. Those who have access to Zoom One, Zoom has apparently changed their own rules starting within the last week or so. I logged in with Zoom One after Mindy, which should not have affected anything, but it gave me the poll. So basically what's going to happen is no one's going to be able to log in with the Zoom One credentials, except for me on the first day and Mindy on the second day. That's going to be an important piece of information there. Secondly, and just to, you know, we could reuse the polls for the minority opinion because it's the same vote. So maybe the usual suspects can stay afterwards and we can talk about that.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Any other? Go ahead, Mary Jo.
Go ahead, because I think these back behind the scenes things we need to let the delegates go if we're ready to close.
Yeah, I was going to say, do any of the delegates have any other questions? Yeah. Okay.
Just a reminder that this is practice. We were practicing too, and we're trying to work out all the kinks. If you were at last year's ABC, most of those kinks were worked out ahead of time, and they will be this time too. It will run much more smoothly. So don't be afraid.
Okay. I do have a question posted it, which is, thank you, Wynn. We voted on the three options, yes, no. There were three options and they were in one document. I probably didn't hear the directions. Were we supposed to press yes, no, or maybe one, two, and three? I didn't understand how to vote.
Okay. What we'll do is we will make sure that it's actually there's a display on the screen that shows you exactly what buttons to push for that, and the polls will be pretty clear when you're doing a poll.
Okay.
All right, but the one where we had you do 1, 2, 3 in the poll, you just have to mark the poll for the option that you desire.
Just press that. But it looked like it was one full document. I tried pressing three, but you'll explain it later or I'll catch it.
It'll be obvious on Saturday.
Thank you all very much for your work.
Yeah, it almost sounds like Renee's question was she was trying to press the shared screen rather than use the reactions button. Is that the case?
I didn't know if the reaction, yes, that is the case. I didn't know if the reactions buttons were red, you know, green was one, red was two, and the third one was the third vote. It wasn't clear to me that was.
Okay.
Okay.
For any votes that we use the reaction buttons, we will have a slide on the screen that shows you what you're voting for. Anything that is in the poll, it will describe in the poll, and you simply select that particular button. You'll check on that particular button. Okay. Anything else? Oh, we have a couple of hands raised. Marie from IG 569.
Yes. Hi. I have a question. In regards to the actual ballots that we are going to vote for in the meeting, the ABC. When the WSO has stated in the analysis that they have, like the number one, the literature committee also will review the paragraph cited in this ballot measure and consider whether it should remain in the big red book. I am confused to how to vote, because I think that the analysis is okay. So the motion doesn't actually need to carry through because it's already in the literature committee. How do I?
That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly a fine response to that, and can be, and you can bring that up in the initial discussion.
I think I can speak to that.
Thank you.
Basically, the literature committee may or may not pass that. You know, it is being reviewed, but it may or may not, unless they tell it's otherwise. If you feel strongly that at the ABC that you would like the decision to go one way or the other, then you should vote that way on the ballot and not wait for the literature committee. If you if you don't care and you want the literature committee to do that, then you can do that. But I think that may help you prioritize how you want to vote.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you all for your great work with this. I was in the ABC last year, and you behind the scenes, you're awesome people. You're doing so much good work. Thank you immensely for everything you do.
I will make one additional comment to what Brad said. You know, one of the things that we encourage everyone to do, if you have strong feelings about something like that issue, number one, we do have, for instance, we have a committee now, representation, equity, and
accessibility.
Accessibility, thank you. And we encourage anyone who has feelings about those sorts of things to join that committee.
Okay, so to make things clear, if this motion does not pass, it might not be brought up to the literature committee. But if it is passed, it will. It will.
It's sort of like the literature committee is saying, we're already aware of this.
Yes.
Right? That doesn't necessarily mean that's an indication of the disposition of that item. They're just saying, yeah, it's in our queue. We're going to look at it. So Brad's point is, if you have a feeling about that, you should vote your feeling, because that gives direction to the literature committee upon that item's disposition.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Cheryl.
Thank you, Greg. That's okay. I wanted to ask about the process, the modified Roberts Rules of Order. I know that we do make them available once we solidify them. I just want to ask and clarify, like, I could post that into our channel once that document is solidified. Is that correct?
Yes, and that document is solidified. It is passed. It is part of the, it's an appendix in the OPPM now.
Okay, so maybe sharing that with the channel, people could ahead of time have a look at that, and they will understand some things better, possibly.
Absolutely, okay. And besides just the diagram, there are 5 pages of text that go along with that, which are more explanation. That's a great idea.
I will do that. I will do a mail out and a post. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Ralph from Iowa 033.
Yes, I had a question about how we make our second a motion. Do we need to raise our hand and be recognized by the chair, or do we just unmute and start speaking?
As I understand it, you won't be able to unmute, so we'll have to ask you to raise your hand.
Okay.
And then you can be unmuted, but.
But today it was just somebody unmuting to second.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Ralph.
Uh-huh.
So IG 56, Joshua.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Sorry if this is a newbie question, but obviously, you know, I'll be referring to how my intergroup voted on these, but as a delegate, obviously, if I have new information, I vote with my own conscience, informed by the group, but I can vote contrary to what my intergroup voted if new information makes me change my opinion. But thanks. Correct. Thanks for correct. The point of clarification.
We are all trusted servants. That's correct.
That's clear. Thank you.
All right, Aaron.
So question in terms of clarity. So when, and this could be for Mary Jo too, ballot prep. So when the proposals came out, if a group decided for it not to be discussed at the ABC because they were going by the trust of the analysis saying it's already being worked on, then the group supposition was, well, why take time at the ABC for it if it already looks like it's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate way to make that assumption?
I think it is. I think it is. You know, and I'm not disagreeing with, you know, what Josh laid down as how to vote within the ABC, but I'm also suggesting that we have committees working on these things when we've said we have something that's under consideration. There are a couple of these that are in that vein that are being worked by CREA. And I really encourage people to join those committees to help make those decisions. So I don't think it's wrong for, in fact, we did that with my groups. We said, hey, they're already working on it. We'll let them continue to work on it. So.
And then also, I just want to remind everybody that as a delegate, we really do encourage you to stay on slack.com and get involved in the different committees, because we definitely need volunteers for service.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay, Intergroup 720, Northern New Jersey, Jess.
Hi, I just had a question, or I don't know if it's a question or a suggestion to Aaron's point, with just what we're talking about right now. With the ballot proposals with WSO's analysis, when it does say the literature committee is already dealing with this or WSO is already discussing this, I was just wondering if there's any room there or if there ever has been for more explanation within that, with the ballot proposals, as to what exactly they're discussing or like what level of discussion is happening, just to sort of clarify that if we do need to vote still yes or no. I don't know. Just to me, it seems very, very vague. They're already discussing it. And I'm sure that's not how it's meant to be at all, but that's sort of how it comes across. And it actually did cause a lot of confusion in my group with whether to vote for things or not vote for things to be on in the actual agenda. Thanks for letting me share.
Great. So I'm glad we're recording this. Thank you for being the straight person for my two literature subcommittees. We made the same point Saturday, as a matter of fact, with the new chair of the literature committee. It's an excellent point. We agree with it totally. And within the subcommittee, we are prepared to support that next year. Any other questions, comments? Okay, super. Turn it back over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, everyone. I'll just continue on our PowerPoint here. All right. Thank you, everyone, for participating tonight or this afternoon, or it could have been night, wherever you are. And we'll close our session for the mock proposal. And I'd like a moment of silence before we close out with the ACA Serenity Prayer. May we have that moment now. ACA Serenity Prayer. Higher power.
Higher power.
Grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change. The courage to change when I can. And the wisdom to know what is me. See you all at the ABC.
Thank you all so much.
Thank
for being here, helping us.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all. Very,
and so informative.
Thank you.
Very helpful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, all. This is Mindy. Unfortunately, I can't stay after today. I have my two girls waiting for me, but I am going to touch base with Brad earlier in the week to find out if there's going to be some changes for next week.